Hello, hello everyone, and welcome to Cellular Healing TV. This is episode number 205, and Dr. Pompa and I have a very special show for you today. And to start off, before we dig in, before I even tell you what the topic is, I have a few questions for you, because if you are listening and any of these symptoms that I'm about to read ring a bell, then you definitely want to tune in, because we have some answers as to why you may be feeling this way. So to start off with, have you ever experienced any of these health issues, such as exhaustion, cravings for sweets, bad breath, a white coat on your tongue, brain fog, hormone imbalance, joint pain, loss of sex drive, chronic sinus and allergy issues, digestive problems, a weakened immune system, or UTIs? That's the first list of symptoms for a condition. Maybe you can guess what it is. And the second list, maybe if you've had any of these symptoms, let us know. Constant illness, just in general, chronic illness, different nail funguses, constant fatigue, difficulty sleeping and waking up, and rectal itching. Any of those symptoms for the second condition. And Dr. Pompa, maybe you want to fill them in. What are these two different conditions that we're going to delve into today? Because these are very common symptoms and they're kind of across the board as well.
Yeah. Well, look, if you identified with the first one, that's candida. If you identified with the second one, that's parasites. And by the way, I didn't even know what order you put them in, but I could just tell by some of the symptoms. However, most of you probably are saying, oh, I have symptoms with both. So I'm very, very confused. And it's so true, because a lot of people, myself, actually, I had parasites when I was sick and I had candida.
Great combination.
The first set of symptoms was candida. The second was parasites. You're going to hear my dog bark in about 10 minutes here. 10 seconds. When someone knocks at my door, no matter what, this is going to happen on Cell TV. I apologize. So anyways, look, the bottom line is that these things, and we've all heard this, right? Everybody has parasites. Yeah, that's true, right? Everybody has candida. That's true. But to what extent does it become symptomatic? To what extent it becomes a pathology, right? And then with that said, what can we do about it? We're going to show you, because I believe there is absolutely a time that it becomes a problem and we have to knock back these infections, right? But I also am going to tell you on this show that I had those things. And yes, if I knocked back my candida, if I knocked back the parasites, I would feel better. However, I wasn't better. So we're going to talk about that too. Because I think there's an important, and I'm going to give you a candida protocol, a basic one. I'm going to give you a basic parasite protocol, but I think there's a deeper lesson here that for all of us. So, let's dig in, because, Meredith, you as well have suffered from this, right? So talk about some of your experiences with this and what were some of your symptoms?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's start off with candida, and which I had learned about it years ago, actually, when I was first getting into natural health, and my friend told me all about it because she was having these symptoms. And by the way, if you're just tuning in for the first time, though, candida is a yeast in the body, and it's naturally there, but the problems occur when it becomes overgrown, when there's an overgrowth of candida in the body, and it can get out of control and cause these different symptoms that I first read, some of those in the list that when we first started the show. So, and I had some of these symptoms that my friend had mentioned, and, like the white tongue and brain fog. I had some UTIs in the past, recurrent, and just, I was like, oh gosh, candida, I'd never heard of this. So I started to delve into it more and more. And, I just kind of started to experiment with some of the protocols that I came across. And I know you're going to delve into that as well. And but first I had started just kind of experimenting with the no candida diet, which was no sugar at all. So for a while I had taken sugar out of my diet, and that included alcohol for a while as well. And when I was living in New Orleans at the time, I remember that was challenging, like no fruit. Yeah. Yeah, it was because it was such a part of my lifestyle. But at the time, too, thinking back, like, gosh, there's no wonder that I had candida, because I had set myself up kind of in the perfect storm, as you say, to get candida. I know my immune system wasn't very strong because I wasn't sleeping well. I wasn't eating well. My microbiome, therefore, was out of whack. And so with, different gut issues and a weakened immune system, you set yourself up very well to have candida issues and overgrowth issues. So I had gotten to the point where I had, you know, been in a good position for candida. And just initially by starting kind of the no candida diet, where I was taking the fruits, the sugars, some of the carbohydrates, definitely not all, out of my diet, I did start to get some relief and decrease in symptoms. But then I didn't really take it too much further, and I got kind of caught up in other things. And that's kind of where my candida specifically journey ended, because I've stepped back and seen the bigger picture too, as right. well, that I think sometimes we get so focused on fixing a specific condition when we're missing out on the bigger picture and the multi-therapeutic approach, as you teach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just did such a good job there, because you set the stage for, you know, what everyone goes through. Look, no doubt when you go to a lower carbohydrate diet, take refined sugar out of your diet, a lot of the fruits out of your diet, it gets a step better, you know, but it seems like, severe candida, it's never healed by the perfect diet. Matter of fact, I mean, there's even some people that say, you know, even people in ketosis, that the candida will feed from the ketones. Look, you know, bacteria, fungus, yeast, they're very intelligent. I mean, they'll do anything to survive. So, I don't know that you'll beat it all the way back, with the perfect diet. So then there is a time to come in with some killers, as we call them. And, you know, the key here, I know you guys want some of these answers, right? So let's just give you some of the products that were very successful with me, you know, and my clients. The number 4 Fung DX, FUNGDX, and it's literally the number sign 4. We've used it for years and it's very effective. Let me give you another one that I absolutely love. It's Candida Plex. And spell that for them, because it's a funny spelling. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Candida, CANDIDAPLEX. And you can get that at revelationhealth.com.
Exactly. And then I love grapefruit seed extract. Just straight up grapefruit seed extract. I love oregano oil. So I just gave you 4 different products. Now, the magic with candida and bacteria is rotation. Okay, so meaning that they are clever for a month, and then it's you have to switch the product. So it's not just using one product, especially when you deal with more severe cases. And on more severe cases, whereas you just have a mild case, maybe using one product for a month and then switching to another product for a month, that would work. But with a more severe case, you'd probably pick 2 of those 4 and do that for a month, and then pick another 2. And then pick another 2. So, you know, and I think garlic could be in that rotation. Olive leaf extract could be in that rotation. So the magic isn't this one pill, right? Or this one thing. The magic is, in fact, the rotation, because you have to fool these clever little guys. So the diet that we mentioned, you know, no doubt low carb. I think most of you watching this get that, but mixing it with the killers. Now, this is my experience, is that I would do this, right? And, you know, researching on this rotation theory, et cetera. And it would work, it would knock it back. But guess what happened when I would stop? it would come firing back. You know, it may take 2 months, but you know, before I know it, I'd start getting the white tongue, I'd start getting itchy ears. I mean, you know, just the stuff that my particular set of symptoms, would start and, you know, give me the red flag that my candida is back. Very frustrating. So then I would go back at it. Okay, so how ultimately did I beat my candida? As I did multiple brain phases, getting the toxins out of my deeper tissue. And that's the cellular detox for new people, right? And I would, you know, after a period of time, I realized, oh, it's like I haven't beat back my candida in months. You know, that's odd. Meredith, you said something. You said my immune system was low because of my lifestyle. And therefore, it gave these pathogens, in this case, we're talking about candida, the opportunity to overgrow. Candida is in every one of us. We're not going to beat it back to gone. It just doesn't work that way. They're there waiting. They're opportunistics. It's like robbers waiting in alleys for someone to walk by, right? But again, we can avoid these things. You know. But ultimately, it's this. What is beating back our immune system? In my case, it was my upstream heavy metals. And I'll tell you, with candida, heavy metals are typically the burden, but it can be lifestyle. It can be pure sugar. It can be other things. But when it's chronic, you know, look upstream and say, what is up there? So if you think of that analogy that I just gave, imagine a stream. This was actually a true story that I watched happen, but they were trying to stock fish in a certain area because people were like a pay stream area. And the fish kept dying, and they would put more fish in. It kept dying, they put more fish in. Then they realized that there was this bad pathogen that was in there. So they killed the pathogen, and they thought, okay, this is the problem. And then they, you know, all of a sudden the pathogen came back and they killed it again. And meanwhile, they're spending obviously $1,000 on putting new fish in. That could be your probiotics. That could be a lot of different things you're trying to get to survive, your good bacteria. And anyway, so finally someone much smarter said, you know, I think because this pathogen keeps coming back, something's killing off the good microorganisms and allowing that pathogen to populate. And that's what's killing the fish. So miles upstream, they discovered there was in fact a factory. And I think it was dumping lead in this case into the water. And, you know, they brought it to the attention, the EPA came in, blah, blah. But it was like, it doesn't matter. The thousands of dollars that we spend downstream, you have to look upstream. My case, a factory was dumping mercury upstream. It was coming out of my brain. It was coming out of my deep tissues, you know, and it was killing my good bacteria. And it was allowing these bad pathogens to kill all my fish. So I hope that resonates. But so
and
when
it's
I got
in for me too, just I was living in a moldy home in New Orleans as well when all of that was happening, which I was having other symptoms and other issues too. But clearly that was an upstream source where I was living in this home. There had been 6 feet of water during Katrina. And, you know, I was starting to take supplements, learning these things, but I was still living in the moldy home.
Exactly. And by the way, if we talked to 100 people, you'd get 100 different stories. If you say, yeah, but I'm looking. Look, if you have candida, we'll get to parasites in a minute. You know, there is an upstream. There, look upstream. You know, absolutely. And the people say, well, should I knock back my candida before I do detox? No. There's a dance. I would do detox. And when I did detox, sure enough, I would get worse candida, right? I mean, it's like I would have to knock it back. So it was detox, candida. And of course, when I was on a cycle of my heavy metal cycle, I would actually take some candida stuff, but it would come flaring up and I would knock it back until I got my mercury down to a certain point. And that's when all of a sudden candida wasn't an issue anymore. So yeah, I mean, you know, candida is, it's a problem in so many sick people, but please folks, I hope you hear our message. You know, the candida isn't the problem. You know, it's a symptom of an upstream issue.
Mm-hmm. Now, how does fasting come into play too with treating candida?
Yeah, I mean, you'll notice. I mean, you know, it's funny. I just finished a 5-day water fast with our Facebook group. And, you know, you can still go there. All the videos are still there. We took 2,400 people through a 5-day water fast. So if you go to dr.danielpompa, it'll bring you to my fan page. And there was a private group called Fasting for a Purpose. You could look there. But anyways, the videos are still there. But yeah, I mean, when I used to fast, I would get a really white tongue, you know, I mean, as an indicator of, you know, still some pathogens, right? And I think a lot of them were in some of my cavitations too. But anyways, you know, this time I barely got a white tongue. And I think a white tongue is very normal during fasting to some degree. Fasting beats back all pathogens. It does. It starves down good and bad bacteria. Then after a fast, this is our opportunity to re-inoculate the good guys. And that's what I've been doing for the last 2 days, actually, is just putting in all kinds of fermented foods and re-inoculating. So yeah, that, right, Meredith. I mean, that fasting is a strategy, you know, to absolutely beating back not just candida, but many pathogens. I, you know, the testimonies coming through, people passing parasites, you know, I mean, people pass a lot of things. So yeah, it's an opportunity to just knock back some of these bad guys and overwhelm them in a re-inoculation phase, you know, with the good guys. Because when you start, many people, if you imagine this, many people are up here. So let's say we'll put candida and other bad guys in, you know, this is your gut where you have more of the bad than the good. This is called dysbiosis. Okay, so here's what most people are trying to do. They're trying to build up their good guys, take probiotics, take this, take that. And this is what's happening. Okay. And you know, it's kind of, I probably more like this, but here's what fasting does. It brings them both down And then you re-inoculate these guys. And these guys now they don't have a chance. So good point, Meredith. That's another strategy I would add here.
Well, because we need both good and bad bacteria
for
that
healthy balance.
Normal procedure.
You're right. And another question too with the protocols is that some of the binders are they effective for helping to attack these, you know, specifically candida, but other pathogens as well, like the cytodetox, like the activated charcoal bind? Are those helpful along with the killers and the antifungals, the antibacterials?
Yeah, to complete the protocol, bind is important for this, both the parasite protocol and the candida, any pathogen protocol, because when you're killing these things, a lot of the symptoms that they call Herx reaction are actually caused by the dead guys, where they spew a lot of toxins in the gut. And we can even reabsorb, especially if you have a leaky gut, the toxins from the die-off. So it's like, imagine, if you kill a spider on the floor, right? You're like, okay, that's happening in your gut. Maybe that's a too graphic or an ugly example, but it's what happens, right? It's like you kill a mosquito and you see the blood come up. It's like, yeah, okay, that's happening at a smaller degree with either the parasites or the candida in your gut. And that's what gives you the darn symptoms. So we want a binder in there, and bind has like four different binders in it. Not just heavy metals, but all these other, we call them biotoxins, toxins produced by a living thing. In this case, it'd be a toxin produced by candida from the die-off or the parasite. And yes, we want that binder in there to grab these toxins in the gut so you don't reabsorb them. And that's what makes you feel like crap, right? And then I think you're right. I mean, even cytodetox, where you have a more systemic binder floating around, absolutely minimizes the symptoms. And let me throw a couple other out of lymphatic stuff. So lymph drainage from Des Bio, which you carry on Revelation Health, lymph drainage.
SCNG, right?
Because in SCNG too. So lymph drainage and SCNG, you can rotate them back and forth. There's two, lymph drainage from Des Bio and SCNG from systemic. You want to keep your lymphatic opening. How about some rebounding on a trampoline? Just very mild. That opens lymph up. Lymph brushing, Epsom salt baths help open up that pathway. Far infrared saunas help open up that skin pathway. So all of those things, along with those killers, are no doubt part of that protocol.
Enemas too, as well?
Yeah, coffee enemas, because sometimes what happens is the liver ends up getting overwhelmed with the toxins. And what a coffee enema does is the caffeine in the coffee goes to the liver and pushes out the bile. Okay, now when we do our coffee enemas, we like to take that bind that I mentioned 30 minutes before a coffee enema. And the reason we do that is because now there's a catcher's mitt sitting in the gut. It doesn't leave the gut. That when you push up the bile that holds all the toxins from the liver, it goes into the catcher's mitt so you don't reabsorb it. And then I like to also take right before the coffee enema, a tablespoon or some of you maybe even a teaspoon of ghee, which is a dense fat that you need to dump bile into to digest. So that brings the toxic bile out too. So 30 minutes, take the bind. 30 minutes later, 45 to an hour. I mean, there's a window there. Then you take your fat and immediately do a coffee enema. Yeah, I mean, and that is a great thing to do. And you can Google how to do a coffee enema, but just if you do it my way, it takes it to the next level. And again, I would put that into the parasite protocol or a candida protocol or any pathogen protocol.
Mm-hmm. I love it. All right. So a lot of gems there. And just quickly before we move on to the parasites with the candida diet. So it's kind of a lower carb diet. And then do you intermittently bring in any higher carbs while you're taking the killers to kind of knock them down? Is there any strategy with that? Or is it just kind of a lower carb diet for a while?
Well, there is a strategy there, just like SIBO. And we've done other shows on small intestinal bacteria overgrowth, where you do a high carb day and then they come out, because see, many of them hide back into biofilm and they're kind of protected, and you do the high carb day and they come out like going, woohoo, food. And then boom, there's the killers, right? So Meredith, once again, you can tell she's done this a few times, folks.
It made me think of it, because when I was doing a SIBO protocol, that's something that I've had challenges with. And I took the antibiotic and Rifaxin, for that was last year, I think, for 2 weeks. And I said, oh, you know, Dr. Pompa, should I just do a super low carb diet? It was a 14-day antibiotic to specifically target the small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And you said, no, like, eat carbs, eat a bunch of carbs while you're taking this antibiotic to really bring out these bacteria so they feed, and then you hit them with that killer. So that did help. So that's a fun trick, and that's something that a lot of people, that you're not going to hear that a lot. So I think that's a really great tip for, you know, specifically targeting these bacteria.
Exactly. And that could be three of those a week. It could be, you know, a period for everybody. I mean, that's why oftentimes working with a coach that gets this stuff, because it is a little different for everyone. Even the dosing of the stuff, you know, very sick people, find a coach, you know, but those, you know, who aren't as much, you know, try these things. So yeah, great advice.
Great tip. All right. Well, so now because we have a dual show here, we're going to move into parasites, because you suggested that we kind of talk about these two pathogens in one show, because there are, as you heard too in the beginning of the show, a lot of overlap with the symptoms. So we're moving on to parasites. What's, you know, the issue with parasites? Why do so many of us have them? And can they be a good thing? And sometimes too, and what's kind of the connection with Candida? So there's a lot of questions, but wherever you want to take it.
These are the two main guys, and I hated to separate them, because typically one that has one has the other. And that's kind of why I wanted you to start the show throwing it out there, because I know most people would be like, well, I have that. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's like typically they're both opportunistic and one raises its ugly head and the other, and back and forth, because you do, there's a dysbiosis in the gut, your immune system's low. So, you know, all the, yeah. I mean, you know, parasites, look, we're all exposed to them all the time. You know, it's on lettuce, it's on this, it's on, you know, you beat them back. I mean, people in Mexico, right? They're exposed to these bacteria and parasites. They're not getting sick. We go there and we get sick. You know, I mean, so it's, you know, at a certain point, you know, a good, healthy immune system just deals with it, and it keeps them at bay. You know, it's like not every disease is parasites, but they can become problematic. You know, I mean, and all of a sudden now you have this skin issue that's very odd. You have very odd symptoms. And, you know, like you said, you labeled the symptoms in the beginning, and of course there's others, but yeah. So at a certain point, we need to beat them back. And of course, there's large ones there. And by the way, I get pictures all the time with people, you know, with parasites. And I want to caution, if you go online and people hold up these things called mucoid plaques, right? And there's, you know, those aren't parasites, right? You remember that, right? And I was like, yeah, Meredith, look, Google this. You know, those aren't parasites. And, you know, it's not even mucoid plaque. It's people take parasite products and they have psyllium in it. Or there's a few of these things that if you put them in water, you know, put your parasite thing in water, and if it gets like all gooey, right? Okay, that's what you're looking at. So these things get in the intestines and they roll up and they create these things, mucoid plaque, and there's parasites in there. Yeah, not necessarily. So don't be fooled.
What is the mucoid plaque made of?
The point is, it's just the psyllium or the other non-soluble fiber that is in the product that rolls up into that mucus looking strand that they call either mucoid plaques or parasites. It's a scam. It is. So don't be fooled by that. And that doesn't mean parasites don't exist. And that doesn't mean you're not going to move them out of your bowels and see them in the toilet. But I'm just saying a lot of that stuff, people sell their products. So they put a lot of these things in a lot of the parasite products that you buy at the store, because people keep stay on them. I'm still getting parasites. And I always tell my clients, well, you know, send me a picture. That's not a parasite. You know, that's the stuff in the stuff, right? That one? Oh yeah, that's a parasite. There's a head, there's an eye, there's a tail. You know, or I tell them, I'm not sure, go get it analyzed. You know, I wanna know. So yeah, I mean, some parasites, you have small ones that you can't see. You know,
Giardia.
Giardia, thank you. Gosh, Giardia, it's my dyslexia. Giardia, Lamnia, Histolytica, and then anyways, there's a lot of them that are so microscopic that you won't see. I had those too. I actually did a stool analysis and tested for those guys. Some people have the big, you know, the roundworms, which can range, you know, anywhere in here. And then the tapeworms can be a little longer. And I've seen pictures of tapeworms coming out of people. The coffee enemas, by the way, I just had recently a client doing coffee enemas and passing pretty long parasites, and that was the real deal. So don't be fooled, number one. But yeah, if these things grow, it will make everything more difficult, okay? And some of these parasites, as you start, let's say, a detox program, all of a sudden now you could start moving them out. And some people, we have to beat back the parasites even to move ahead in the detox. But a lot of them won't even come out, just like the candida, until we start detox. So, because I'm always asked the question, well, should I do the parasites first or this? The question is, I don't know. It's different for everybody. Some people, you know, start with parasites first, especially if it's a glaring issue. Some people, they don't even know. You start the detox, and then down the road in detox, all of a sudden the parasites become an issue. Because what happens is parasites and candida, they're so smart. Bacteria do the same thing. Lyme disease, the same thing. They'll put themselves around the heavy metals, as an example, and they'll hide from the immune system, because the immune system will not go near mercury. It will die. And it will put itself around it. And until you start pulling out the mercury, then the pathogens will come. But it's like, if you don't pull out the mercury, you won't get to them. You see what I'm saying? So in that case, well, it makes sense to start the detox first. Well, sometimes the pathogens are so out and about, it makes sense to do that first. So it's not a clear answer. You can't just do one, you know, do this first, that. It is a little bit different per person.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So, but typically it would be when you're doing true cellular detox, in at some point in the body phase or in the brain phase, you would bring in a targeted parasite protocol, right? And you would kind of do it in conjunction with it while you're working with a practitioner, of course, because you're going to need guidance. If there's parasite issues, that it can be very tricky. So you definitely want to work with someone who would kind of know what to do to orchestrate the process and the proper sequence.
You know, honestly, and people always say, well, how do I know? Should I test? Well, I mean, you can look at some of the symptoms. Do you have them? Or I think this is the cheapest test of all. Do 2 months of a parasite protocol. I do that with many of my clients. How do you feel? I don't feel anything. Okay, great. You know, let's change up the parasite program the next month. Do I feel anything? Nope. You know, typically I'll do, you know, large parasites for the first month and small parasites for the second month. Okay, with that said, let me give you a protocol, because I know that's what people want. Systemic formulas is actually world renowned for their VRM products. V as in Victor, R as in Mary. Oh gosh, did you hear that dyslexic thing comment? R as in Mary. V as in Victor, R as in Ralph, how's that? M as in Mary. 1, VRM 2, and then there's VRM 3 and 4. So let's stop there. VRM 1 is for the big guys. VRM 2, you know, kind of the medium guys. Those are cycled 10 days on, 5 days off. And the reason they are is because, now, there is times where I keep someone on them longer than that, even for a whole month. But the reason they're cycled 10 days on is because the bigger guys have a life cycle where they're in a cyst phase or the big phase. So you give 5 days for them to, the eggs to hatch, if you will, and come back into the worm phase where you can kill them. And then you do it again. The other, you know, if they laid any new eggs, then they'll hatch and you'll kill them. That's why you cycle a 10 on, 5 off. So I will do typically VRM 1 at night, I'll give 2 pills. VRM 2 in the morning, I'll give 2 pills. For those of you who are smaller in status, maybe 1 and 1, or just more sick in general, 1 and 1. So I'll do the first month cycle on the VRM 1 and 2 going for the bigger guys. And then the second month, I will do the VRM 3 and 4, which are for the microscopic guys. And I'll do VRM 3, 2 at night or 1. In the morning, I'll do VRM 4, you know, 1 or 2. So now that's the heart of the protocol. There's another product, the Desk Bio, that you all carry on Rev Health called Dioverm. It is another different, like these shards of little glass, if you will, that don't bother you or your intestines, but they're hell on parasites. Dioverm is good. And sometimes I'll throw in another homeopathic called Ver, V-E-R, and that's from Desk Bio as well. And that kind of helps push it out of the biofilm. So, you know, there's 4 products there, 3, you know, that you can put together. And I'll keep people on the Dioverm or the Ver through the whole 2 months. I'll run 2 months. If someone has symptoms during the 2 months, I'll run it longer. But if they don't, then we'll move on to maybe a bacteria protocol, virus protocol, as we're doing the detox. Because again, you know, a lot of these guys don't come out until you do the detox. So, you know, that's why you just can't start with this oftentimes. As you do the detox, these darn guys will come out of their hiding places. So that's a very standard protocol. Now, we already talked about using Bind with that. Very important to use Bind to clean up. It has 4 different binders in it. Things like humates, fulvates, I mean, those things kind of keep the metals back. But the carbon actually does better for the biotoxins, and it's a very special carbon, very expensive carbon. Then there's another binder from Africa that does kind of all around. But anyways, so the different binders work really well, because remember, it's the toxins in the parasites after you kill them that really cause a lot of the problems. And then again, cytodetox, say this, when do I do the protocol? If I'm doing a heavy metal cycle, do I do it on or on the off cycle? Because heavy metal protocols, you're on for 3 to 7 days, say, and then you're off for 4 to 10 days, say. Well, some people do better doing it while they're doing heavy metals. Some people do better while they're on off cycle. So again, that's why working with a coach is important, because your dosing, how you cycle it, how you do it with it, it's different for everybody. And you kind of have to know, you know, what to do with that dance. And it's kind of complicated. So
it does get tricky. And so how do we know? So like if someone's listening and they had heard these symptoms and can definitely relate and say, oh gosh, I have a lot of these symptoms, is it okay to just do the detox and start to experiment with some of these protocols if they're not super sick? Would that be okay? And if it's not confirmed that, you know, they're for sure they have candida, for sure they have parasites, is it okay to start to play around with some of these parasite products or some of the candida, the killers?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're not severely sick, you know, major, you know, autoimmune or just very sick. Yeah, absolutely. Many of you watch the show for sure. Absolutely. Opinion of this, you know, if you get symptoms, you're onto something, right? So for sure, absolutely do that. And as far as testing goes, I said that's the easiest and cheapest way to test. Some people do stool analysis. It's gotten better at detection. But remember, when they're back into your deep tissues, hiding in the heavy metals, it's not going to show up on a stool analysis. So oftentimes I would say don't waste your money.
I just have a word of caution as well, just from my personal experience. I had started taking, you know, gosh, I've been working with you, Dr. Pompa, for years, and I've been, you know, doing these different protocols and just, you know, following your advice, of course, doing these things that you suggest. And I started, for the very first time in my life, took some parasite products earlier, I guess it was last year now. And I took them at a very high dose, as I do. I just kind of went in. I wanted to see if I could get a result. And I had a massive reaction on my skin. Remember, I sent you pictures where I just like got these massive acne type welts that came out like all over my face. I had been taking a very high dose of these parasite products for, not the one specifically we're talking about, but some parasite products for about 3 weeks, didn't notice anything. And then literally overnight, I woke up and had all of these welts, and I immediately started fasting and stopped the products, and it cleared up within a week. But it scared me to have such a reaction, even though we know like these things have to come out of us, and that's a good thing. But also just a word of caution too, when we're detoxing, we're taking all these products that, you know, we stir things up, they start to come up, and working with a coach, and I, you know, was so grateful to be able to talk to you and ask you, okay, what's going on? Because we do want to be prudent in what we're taking as well.
Yeah, exactly. And let me give you what you're right. And I'll add to that caution in a similar note. You know, I'm always testing. I'm very connected with Systemic Formulas. Shane Morris is a good friend, and you know, we've developed a lot of product together. And one of the things I love about their products is they test everything that walks in the door. I mean, even if they're getting, say, black walnut, which is common in parasite products, from a company for years, they still test it every time, because there's different baptisms. People source it from different places. A lot of these things that are in parasite products, probably even more so than candida products, are from China, and they're loaded with lead. And here's what we're finding, because we just tested a bunch of product that, you know, some of our doctors were getting excited about, and it came back with lead, mercury, and huge amounts of pesticides. So, you know, I mean, you know, and other chemicals. So you have to be really careful. So a lot of these killers in these parasite products come from China and India, and you know, they are loaded up with stuff. So you have to know the product. You really do. I mean, we, you know, it's, I say we, it's not me, but Systemic, I say we because they, you know, source me the product. You know, it's sometimes very hard that, you know, they start testing for something and all of a sudden now it's coming back contaminated with something. So you have to know your sources on, especially on these parasite protocols or products.
Right. Right. Very, very true. So be very aware of what you're taking, what you're doing, the ingredients, and where things are coming from. And that's true of anything. So it's really important to do the research. And I mean, these two pathogens, this is a really important topic because they're such you know, hot subjects in the natural health world, candida, parasites. Yeah. And I think, Dr. Pompa, you gave a great overview of what they are, the issues they cause, some of these symptoms that, you know, you may be experiencing could be related to these. And ultimately, it seems from our discussion with, you know, diet, lifestyle, fasting, detox, that it all comes down to your multi-therapeutic approach and just bringing in these targeted protocols to address these specific conditions.
Yeah, I mean, you're right on. I mean, imagine like if you're doing this and you're not doing the cellular healing, you know, I mean, if you don't increase cell function, it's all for nothing. That's why we're all sick. That's why we don't feel well, you know, so you have to be, you know, dealing with the cellular healing and getting the cells to work even to detox properly, right? You have to be dealing with the cellular detox. And then the ancient healing strategies, you know, we talked about fasting, we talked about, you know, the different diets, moving in and out of different diets. Look, you know, it's putting it all together. That's why, you know, if you do have more severe challenges, I mean, you need a coach. I mean, this is why I, you know, I'm passionate about training doctors around the country, around the world for that matter, because something that works, right? I mean, do we have all the answers? No way. Praying this morning for more, you know, but you know, when you put it all together, you know, we definitely have something, you know, very special that I know came from him, not from me.
Amen. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. Send us your questions, your show ideas. We love to do kind of these episodes too, where we get just a lot of, you know, questions on certain topics. So if you have, you know, show ideas, send them in to us. And thank you so much for watching. If you're interested in learning more about the overall multi-therapeutic approach, go to podcast.drpompa.com. Check out episode 117. We also dived in with Dr. Todd Watts. I think it was episode about 140 or so on parasites specifically, if you wanted to learn a little bit more just about that topic as well. And any of the products that Dr. Pompa mentioned, you can find on revelationhealth.com. You can feel free to call into the store if you have any questions, but otherwise check out those products online and be in touch. So any closing words, Dr. Pompa?
Well, that's it. Good lesson.
Awesome. All right. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Have a fantastic weekend and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.